Welcome back to the show, you guys. I'm your host, Blair Dreesen, and on today's episode, I have a very special guest with me, someone that I just absolutely love to death, and I was so excited that she said yes to being on the show today. And the topic that we're going to be talking about is so freaking good, and I feel like nobody else is better than to come on and talk about this topic. So first, let me introduce our guest. So her name is Emma Manchester, and I met Emma through my mentor, Andy Love, and we were together in a Soul Flow, originally the very, what was that, like the third group going through, I think, the Soul Flow Facilitator and Love Vibe program. Mm-hmm. And so we met there, and then we got to actually meet in person when we were both interning for the Love Vibe event, which was like in November 2021, I think it was. Yes. Yeah. And I knew, seeing you on Zoom, I knew, I was like, oh, I just love her energy and her smile and just everything. She just has this really, really great personality and energy about her. But then I met her in person. I was like, oh my God, she is exactly how I envisioned her to be. Just like so sweet and so perfect. And I think you worked the front door, right? Of welcoming everybody in.
I did. The registered nurse in like thick of COVID was very helpful for the
There it is. Right? I was like, no better person or energy to be working the very front door than like welcoming people in with like Emma energy. Because you just have this wonderful, warming, loving energy. And yeah, you're a nurse as well.
Yep.
So yep. I was like, yep, I can see this. I would have wanted you to be my nurse in many of the health issues that I've had.
Oh, I would have been honored to take care of you through all of those things. Yes.
I would have loved it. And then most recently, me and Emma were able to come together for the Facilitator Live. If you guys have been following, when I was in San Diego a couple weeks ago, Emma was there, and it was just beautiful to hold space for her through her healing, but also for her to be holding space through my healing. And I'm literally getting full body chills as I'm saying this.
I'm going to start crying.
I know. I can already feel the
Thanks,
emotions.
Blair.
I apparently make people cry within like 2 seconds of a conversation. Ask any of my clients and they're like, I don't know how you do it, but you make me cry in like 2 seconds. And I was like, it's a gift.
It's a release. It's fantastic.
It's beautiful. So immediately I knew when I got back from the Facilitator Live, I knew I wanted to get started getting more episodes recorded. And I was like, Emma was at the top of the list that I wanted her to come on and talk about today's topic. So first though, Emma, introduce yourself. Tell us what you're about and what you love, because that's going to be the perfect segue into what we're going to be talking about today.
Thank you so much, Blair. And I love hearing like origin stories from other people's perspectives, because it's just these like great fill-ins and like, oh yes, I was feeling this and it was reciprocated. Like that's such a cool experience to hear. So thank you for sharing all of that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been quite a journey. So my name is Emma Manchester. I go by Emma Grace. I have been working through like titles. That was always a challenging thing for me as I was stepping into the entrepreneurial world from a career in nursing. And what's really been landing, especially in the sacred feminine over the last year and a half, 2 years, is priestess and mystic. And so essentially what I am doing these days is holding sacred ceremony for women in particular. I work with women to really drop into their own knowing and cultivate and deepen their intuition. And so what I've learned as a nurse being in the Western medical model and as an entrepreneur now is that I am not responsible for other people's healings, despite my inner child trying to lead that. And the beauty that comes when I step back and facilitate a transformational experience that is really co-created with that person in the moment. And so I find it difficult to really put language to it, because it's a full-on experience, right? Like you've been in these settings, these mm-hmm. sensory experiences where it's the touch, the smell, the energy that you're sitting in with that person or that group. Even just being present in it, you can start to feel something stirring within, whether it's a knowing, a remembrance, or like, oh, this is big. Like, I don't know what exactly it is, but something's here. And so I love the vibration of like the in-person energy. And so I really struggled during the pandemic and like finding my footing, because virtual is great. It opened up, like we get to talk, we got to meet, right? And like, otherwise we wouldn't have necessarily, it may have taken a little longer. But being in person and really the world kind of opening back up and that safety and creating a new way of being, right? That's really like rooted in ancient wisdom. And so often, as I was on my own healing journey, I was doing a lot of lineage work and just coming up against the wounding, the wounding, the wounding, the wounding. And as I've been on this journey, knowing that like it's a lifelong journey, we never fully heal anything, right? It comes up in layers, and that it does get to be fun as well. And so when I started finding like retreats, like women's retreats, sitting in women's circles, I was holding full moon and new moon circles right before the pandemic, and then transferred over to a virtual component. And it's just, there's something so potent when we sit together in circle as women. And it is truly a safe container when you have an embodied facilitator. And so part of the journey has also been the discernment, right? As we're in this spiritual community, you know, with the sacred feminine, there are still layers of conditioning and wounding that we butt up against. And so a lot of my journey has also been discerning energies and not just like, oh, everybody's in this spiritual journey, everybody's cool.
Yes.
So I truly, I've been doing this work as a nurse and holding beautiful space for people in a Western medical model that I didn't fit in. But I was, you know, applauded for the work I was doing. And people like, oh, a nurse like you, like, I wish, you know, I wish there was more of that. Or I just feel so safe with you and I'm able to open up with you. And I always chalked it up to the fact that I had RN after my name. And there's a whole level of confidentiality that comes with that. And so that's been part of this navigation as well, is like, no, this is me as my essence. And it's not that I have to take care of other people and fix things, but it's this energy that I embody. And it becomes even more anchored as I embody it deeper and the more I learn. And that's where like the somatics have come in, the sacred feminine, the intuition, the really trusting the self. And so when I work with women, like setting up this beautiful sacred experience that's different than what we see today in like the mainstream necessarily, but is really rooted in the ways we used to be and the ways we used to come together in community. And so really trying to change that landscape as we move forward. And that's what I work on. It's forever changing and ebbing.
Oh my gosh. I love all of that so much. And I feel like so many people are going to resonate with so many different things that you were bringing up. I was like, oh my God, I resonate with that. Oh my God, I totally get that. And yeah, I mean, I feel like the last several years, right, we as a collective, we moved through a lot of things and a lot of stuff bubbled up to the surface for us to explore and to move through and to heal through. And so we can look at it as like this beautiful opportunity or this initiation into, right, and into this work. And I just love, I'm like, oh my God, I just love all this. I'm like, where do we even begin?
So I was like, that was a mouthful of things I do. Like that's my origin story of like where I've gotten to today, because like truly it's really the sacred feminine and creating these spaces for us to sit in and even just hearing each other's stories. Like I have found that so incredibly powerful. I'm like, you're not so isolated, right? Like our society, I'm speaking from like an American viewpoint, right?
Yeah.
But we've been so separated and isolated, and then the pandemic made that worse. And so it's like really coming back together after this time of like severe isolation and looking at things differently, because what we've been conditioned into isn't supporting the person. It's not supporting the family. It's not supporting the community anymore. And so that's really like where I'm starting to get loud is like, okay, this has been great in my own personal healing. And there's so much more for us to bring to the world to help just remind each other that we have everything inside to do the inner work, to make the change, and we are louder together. And so really just like amplifying that and being an example of being in these spaces and finding my voice and strengthening it and just sharing, because it unlocks something for someone. And I may never know exactly when that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But the more that I am sharing, the more other people are able to see that. I'm like, oh my gosh, me too. I'm not alone. And like that, I think, especially with mental health, is just such a big just to have that reflection, just like not being alone is really important.
Yeah. And I think like that really lands for me heavily, because I think over the years of me being on the online space and being an entrepreneur, I've been doing this now for 11 years. Holy Amazing. Moly. I'm blowing my own mind. Wow. You know, and yeah. What I found, like I first started realizing like the success for me in growing my business, when I originally started working my business online, I was in health and fitness, and I was working through like a network marketing company. And what I found was that the more that I did, I openly shared my story very vulnerably, very honestly. And it was all of the things, right? It wasn't just like the good side of things. Like I was always sharing all of the lows. I was sharing a lot of my surgeries. I was sharing a lot of my health struggles. I was sharing just a lot of just my own personal struggles within my spiritual growth journey. I just was really very transparent and letting everything out there. And I saw how much that really did bring other women, not just into my space, but how it made them feel not alone. And that was usually always the thing they would say when they would message me. They would feel like, I feel like you're speaking for me, or you're saying things that I feel like I can't say, or I've tried articulating and I feel like nobody in my space even hears me, or they don't understand me. And you're the first person that I feel like actually sees me and gets me. And so we would deeply connect in these things. And as I continued growing as an entrepreneur, I continued sharing. I feel like this is what the platform of the podcast is, like an extension of all that work. And I talk about this, about how like the vision for this podcast specifically is about bringing women into a conversation and feeling like they're a part of it, and they're feeling seen and they're feeling heard, along with getting resources and tools and information that can better support them in their journey. Right. And like creating almost like a sacred circle or a sacred community for those that maybe don't have that access, mm-hmm. right, in their local community, or maybe they're a little too shy to get on a virtual experience, whatever it may be. Right. So it's like this gets to be that container, mm-hmm. or that baby step for women getting into this connection. Because again, something really landed what you said is that discernment piece of just like, just because everybody's spiritual doesn't mean everybody is safe in yes. the spiritual, you know, in those spiritual spaces. And I learned that, unfortunately, the hard way in the work that I've been through. And I just want to be able to provide more safe spaces for women to have in these conversations and start slowly being able to trust like women. Yeah. And themselves and that sacred feminine within them. Because I feel like you were saying, we've been so disconnected from each other, but so disconnected from ourselves and our own feminine essence.
Absolutely. I love all of that, because it's this journey, right? It's the waves that happen and these understandings as they come up for you. And like you're saying, you're creating these spaces from an understanding that you had been through, and you're knowing, okay, I'm not going to do that to other women. And how can I care for myself so that I show up in a way that is safe, that is, you know, resourcing out and realizing like, oh, I'm up against my edge or my scope. Here's some other, you know, places that you can go. I love you and I'm here for you too. This is going to be a better fit for you in this way. And I think that's so yes. important, you know, because it gets caught up in this, which is like really in the conditioning and the patriarchy, is like the competition, right? Mm-hmm. Like up until like the 70s, we couldn't even have our own bank accounts. And so it makes sense why we haven't felt safe with women, because it's been a very strategic move. And we are working through that as our generation, right? Like I'm 37. And so it's really, we're seeing this, and we see that our mothers were, I feel like, trying to break out of the systems. And now we really get to do this work, and we can look at it as like a struggle, or we can look at it as like an honor, right? Like I get to help rewrite the ways that people are showing up, the ways that my family is showing up. And it all starts with ourselves and like having the woman at the center. And that's what like a lot of my understanding with the sacred feminine is, this return of balance. Mm. And like we have the, you know, our sacred feminine, our divine masculine, and it's a balance, and it's not about the sexes, but it's about these energetic balances, right? Like our dark, our light, the yin and yang, like we work together, and we've removed ourselves from nature. And so it's this like return home. And like, that's what this journey has felt like, is this like homecoming. Mm-hmm. And the more I see it from this lens of the sacred feminine and how it's really our birthright, and it's the way we fit with nature and we see it in our bodies. We see it reflected with the way the life cycle, right? Like the life, death, rebirth cycle. We see it with the moon and the way our bodies cycle, and whether we're having, you know, menses or not, like our energy is still cycling with the moon and with nature as women. And men just function very differently in their energetics. And that doesn't mean that we don't need that, right? Like it's definitely a balance. And so I think there's part of the movement too, where it feels like this, like butting heads. And it's like, no, this is a union. This is us all coming together, us all raising our frequency for the collective good. And it starts with women coming back to themselves, feeling anchored in their knowing, in their intuition, right? Because we've been told you're not right. You're too much of this. You're not enough of that. So many mixed messages to keep us out of our power and our strength. Again, very strategic.
Yeah.
We are the creators. We are the portal. Like whatever your understanding of the universe is, like women are the creators of life. And without women, we will not continue as a human species. And so it's just like, it's just very important that, you know, especially as raising children too. And like, I have a boy and a girl. And so it's very different. And also like, it's the honoring of this sacred feminine, of the matriarch. And I truly feel like our generation is really like redefining the matriarch. And I have hope that our world will improve for the collective, and it won't be so wrought with all the wounding that we see outpictured in our world. And so
and I love you saying that too, this redefining right now. And we're in this massive period of redefining, which I literally was just talking about this actually on the episode before this about redefining the retrograde season, is because we have like what, 7 planets in retrograde right now. And that's a lot of energy to be moving through. But people look at retrogrades as these like horrible periods of time. And I'm like, no, all they are is this initiation into reframing and redefining and reassessing and being able to like look at these structures and be like, does this actually even work for me anymore? Or am I operating from a structure based off of what society's telling me, my parents have been telling me, you know, my own ego has been telling me, right? Like, this is a beautiful period of time to be reassessing things and to slow down a little bit and self-reflect. And so, you know, perfect timing even for this conversation, because this is essentially what this is about, is redefining how we're connecting into our own sacred feminine energy and other females. And so for somebody who's like coming on here and they're like, I know nothing about nothing of like sacred feminine energy, right? And this is, we've had this conversation between everyone within our little space, right? Like the Andy Love little, like the cohorts and things that I'm a part of, where we talk about this, like these words just get flung around all the time and they become buzzwords. But I think it's getting then lost the essence of the word and actually the meaning and like what's behind it. So like, share with somebody who's like, I have no idea. I just hear this buzzword and it sounds like something I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't know how.
And this is kind of my like introduction into the sacred feminine, like really being able to put language to it. Like a year and a half ago, one of my colleagues had brought to me Sarah Jenks, and she is a priestess on the East Coast. And I've been able to partake in a few of her different containers. But the way she shares the story about Mary Magdalene and Jesus, or Yeshua, and like being the perfect example of the divine union, and really how the story sharing and the way that things have been changed to fit a certain narrative where we are today, and removing the sacred feminine. So Mary Magdalene, I think going along with like what's very popular and kind of buzzword right now, like she is having the spotlight. Like if you are joining in at all, like there's the
Mary Magdalene era.
Exactly. Like the lineage of the Magdalenas and like Mary Magdalene, and like rightfully so, like powerful, amazing women. And as I began listening to more stories, it all started to make more sense, where I was like, this isn't just a buzz cool, like, oh, I'm vibey doing like women's circles. Like this is rooted in ancient practices. Like, so we think of Mary Magdalene, like she's through the lineage of like Isis, where they would do like, you know, sacred sex, and like actually they have temples. And so like that, as a priestess, like this term now, like, well, what does that even mean? And it goes back to these ancient peoples and these groups and truly honoring the magic of a woman and the way that she had a divine connection. And the training, so girls, when they would get their first menses, had the opportunity to go to these temples, essentially, where there were groups of women who were priestess. And so it's like you're getting this training from our elders, right, which we've also lost along the way. So it's this knowledge that's coming through these lineages and these trainings and these rituals and truly dropping into, like, as part of my priestess training this year, is like dropping into empty presence. So like at the intersection of humanity and divinity and being the sacred third. And it's really about our divine connection and the channel for this information, for this energy to come through. And it's a training. And so it's not just like, hey, I'm going to slap priestess after my name, which I'm sure, you know, people do, but it's really a way of being and walking and being this channel for the divine. And then it comes into, you know, all the different layers of different types of rituals, right? Like we have like the sex magic, and there's great books around that with Mary Magdalene. We have the scent priestesses who are working with oils and cultivating the land, and like this whole practice built around these initiations and these trainings. And then you would become like highly specialized in an area as you go through this temple. And I think women would be there, girls would be there, like from the time of menses to their early 20s, and then decide,
oh wow,
if they'd like to continue on or like specialize, or if they're like, no, thank you, I'm going back to the community. And so it was really these spaces. And when I started to hear about this, I'm like, this isn't just some like new cool word, right? And like, yeah. I grew up in Catholic church. Like I sat through, you know, priests talking and like could say everything that they were saying, because it was just so raw, like rote. And so then this priestess energy, where I'm like, oh, wow. Like this is a different way of being. And it's about being in nature. It's about communing with nature. And so right now I'm in the priestess presence, which is led by High Priestess Elaine Kalila, who's been doing this work for 12 years and longer. And what I'm seeing is a lot of like therapists and mental health workers coming into this sacred feminine and into this work. And what we're doing is working with the different faces of the goddess. And so we have like 13 faces that we're working with, like where these are archetypes that are seen among all different types of backgrounds of like different worlds, different communities and things like that. And so we see like the great mother or the creator, preserver, destroyer, like Kali energy. And we can see these great mythic female energies throughout time, mm-hmm. in different areas of the world. And that for me was just such a anchoring in this work as priestess and what the sacred feminine really is. And that it is from the beginning, and it's just coming back. And it's really only been a few hundreds of years that we've been taken out of it. And that there's example of these matriarchs where I think they're doing like some archaeology right now, some digs, and they're seeing that there was like a period of 3,000 years that there were like no violent deaths. And these were periods of like matriarch led communities and groups of people. And it's just, it's so interesting once we start to part the veil and look at history from a pulled back perspective instead of what we've been taught by the people who created our narratives. So again, it goes back to discernment and really coming back to self and like what resonates, like what feels true to self. And so that intuition and then growing from there. And like, as you're hearing these stories, and like, for me, that's a lot of how I got into the work. These stories were resonating and they were lighting something up in me. And my body, like you were saying earlier, like full chills, or like I get butterflies. And it's like, we know from being in the world of somatics as well, like our bodies are constantly speaking to us. So we've got this beautiful energy, then we've got these physical bodies that are like, oh yeah, I remember that, like follow that, like, what is this? I want more. And so really that sacred feminine just like embodies all of this, of just like that coming home to ourselves, mm-hmm. and finding ourselves in these stories that, you know, are much older than what we may know today. And so that really solidified like this priestess work. Like it's not just a catchy, you know, new term. Like it's really rooted in ancient civilizations.
Oh my gosh. I love this so much. I was like, I can just sit here and listen to you talk for forever.
Like, did that, that answer the specific question? Like I just get, it just lights me up. Like, it just lights me up and seeing the conditioning and the layers that we're in today. And to be, it just like, it gives me a sense of security, like, just like, it's okay. Like, it's just a wave of this time of people's. We can show up how we want to. And if we want to show up in this beautiful way and try and help be a part of the change for the better, like that's a beautiful thing. And if we can bring ancient technologies and rituals into it, cool, amazing. Like, let's do it.
Yeah. And I think that that's good to point out right now is I think what we're seeing is just like when we're in these big periods of change that needs to happen, it's like the pendulum is like swinging like so far one way or so far the other way. And so that's what we see a lot playing out right now is the extremes of everything. And that can feel really scary and it can be really hard. So you have a lot of people right now that are operating either out of fear, you know, or they're just out of their traumas because everything just feels very discombobulated right now when we have like a lot of people screaming from different sides and they can be very extreme sides. And so it can feel very overwhelming. And I think, you know, it's important for like the work that you're doing, Emma, to be able to help a lot of these women, like getting reconnected back into their feminine essence. And what stuck out to me the most, what you said is like that remembering piece. So you're like, your body is remembering. And I was like, there is this deep inner knowing and remembering that our body carries with us. And I feel like that's when I'm thinking about, like we were talking about ancestral lines and healing. It's like, it's that deep knowing already within our body that we're tapping into. We just don't know where that's coming from. And for a lot of people, I think that that's what's happening, right? They're feeling all these things and they just don't know what to do with any of it. And they're just feeling very lost and confused. And if the spaces that they're in current, like in their physical space, right, are not reflective of how like they're feeling, that just makes it feel even scarier for them.
Yeah. And so big, like, where do you even start? And I think that's the part too, is like just starting and like getting quiet with yourself and like, what is true for you outside of the stories, outside of what other people want for you. And like, that was a big question for me at the beginning of this year is like, who am I without my nursing title? Like, holy shit, I've been hiding behind that title for so long, like with my worth and value. And so it's really that coming home to yourself and allowing that intuitive guidance to get louder. And then, yeah, when you find these spaces or you get these nudges or these synchronicities, like, it's fun to be in the magic, right? Like, we can say, oh, you know, it just, that happened, whatever, no big deal. But the more you pay attention to these little nuggets and these magic pieces that are coming in and follow them, you cultivate that trust for yourself. And your life just becomes more magical as you lean into that unseen world. And that's where I've really found a lot of just like my comfort of like, okay, I've got this very like ego-driven mind that's been conditioned and this is how you do it. This is how you succeed. This is what a good life, quote unquote, looks like, right? And so much of it hasn't resonated. Like for us, even, you know, the public school settings, I have children who are biracial and we live in like a highly Caucasian community, a small town, and it's just like, wasn't fitting. And so like, there are these pieces where it's like, oh, we've just done that. Like, that's the way it is. But does it really feel good? And especially as a parent, like this whole new lens that came on when I had my daughter 5.5 years ago, like, oh, like we can do it differently. We don't have to just fit into like what we've been spoon fed or, you know, how it's supposed to be. And we will potentially ruffle feathers. And so really being anchored in that intuition has been like just coming back and back and back to that, especially as society, your family, your friends, if you don't have these spaces that you've really been able to cultivate or find in your community yet, it can feel like so much because you're trying to completely change course of this ship. And it's a lot doing it by yourself. And I think that's really where it comes back to these women's circles and these safe spaces. And like, I'm not alone, right? And like when we were just with Andy and our sisters a few weeks ago, and like, we've all carried that back into our personal lives. And there's this fuel and this fire again of like, I'm not alone. I'm not trying to change the world by myself, right? And there's more than enough for all of us. I think that's another piece, right? That like, oh, well, if she's doing it, I can't. Or if she has all of this, like, I can never have that. Like, and there's this jealousy and envy that comes in. And again, there's more than enough for all of us. And once we start to peel back those layers and truly live into our authentic truths, like that's where the magic really gets good. And that's where we get to share in these beautiful experiences even more and really bring the magic out and radiate from inside.
Yes. I've always, my ego brain goes into, they do it better than me. Like other women that are in the same space as me that maybe talk about similar things, I'm always comparing myself and think like, oh, well, they're just going to articulate it better, or they're more creative, or they're better at creating graphics, or they just sound better, or they look better, or they whatever. And then like, I think that my message can't be heard because I'm in some way not presenting it in the way that another woman is presenting it.
Yeah, that resonates. Like that's still constantly comes up. I'm like, well, why are they going to come to me if I go to this person and I know the magic that she contains? Mm-hmm. And I think you were saying earlier too, like people are coming in at all these different places in their lives, having like zero like understanding of like a priestess or a sacred feminine or divine masculine. And then once you start cracking that open, all this information is coming your way. And it's easy to get like lost and caught up in because there's just so much. It's a beautiful time that we get to do things differently. And when the voice comes up that says you're not good enough, or the comparison is like, okay, finding those examples for yourself that you have stepped into whatever it is that you have and the successes that you've had. And like, you're going to unlock something differently than another woman is. Mm-hmm. And for me, like coming back to that, like it's important that we are banding together because we all have different medicine, and like you'll hear something differently than, you know, she does over there. And it's these messages that come through that, yes, there's a collective, and also it's going to hit us each differently. And it'll like even just on Andy's deck, like there are times where I was like, I was not expecting that to come up. I had buried that way deep down and thought mm-hmm. I was so fine with it, you know, but we each have medicine. And so just the collective coming together and sharing that with each other helps to calm the ego's voice as she comes up and tries to keep us small.
Yes. So talk a little bit about like ancestral lines and healing.
Yes.
I know we really wanted to jam on this.
Girl, yes, this has been, so I was telling Blair before this, I'm like, the priestess work, sacred feminine, intuition, like, yes. And in my birth chart, which like, so Blair does human design, right? Which is amazing and like so much there. And like I had had an astrology reading right when the pandemic, like the shutdown began. Mm-hmm. And it really opened up a lot of awareness for me and like, oh, this makes sense why these things have happened and why I've been going through this or these threads. And for me, ancestral healing is like why I'm here. And so I'm like, okay, I'm not quite ready. Like I still have to work through a lot of my stuff. And this year I've been able to shed and like free myself from so much of my lineage wounding. Mm-hmm. And for so long I was focused on the wounding because I had my maternal grandmother was death by suicide. And so that was a major story throughout my entire life and how it affected my mother, how it affected me. And I never met her, but her story has been so loud in my life, reasonably so, that I was in caretaker mode. And so the wounding of the lineage, I'm like, oh, how is that my work? And it made so much sense this year. I was so focused on the wounding that I hadn't found my voice. And once I was able to go through a few different, like very, very big healings, one of them was a labyrinth on Maui. That was like the huge release of like breaking the chain essentially and breaking out of this lineage trauma. And with that, really understanding that yes, there's trauma along any lineage. We are humans. There's a lot of stuff that's happened. Mm-hmm. And there's so much wisdom. And so understanding that more of like, we can see the trauma that's happened. We can see the conditioning. We can see the maladaptive behaviors we've developed to keep ourselves safe. And now as adults, we can choose to do things differently. We can, you know, have compassion for what they may have been going through. And also know that there's so many beautiful pieces, even if we're trying to like do it differently. Like there's a lot of beauty that they've brought down our line of taught us. And as we're able to kind of pull away from what we've been put into because of the lineage, being able to see the gifting for what it is and like see that the work with the wounding is actually helping rewrite our like cellular DNA moving forward. Like not only the stories that we are sharing or, you know, kind of putting on our kids, but like we are like cellularly recoding and recalibrating so that the future generations don't have to like go through all that muck again. Mm-hmm. And so like that's helped me in this, like, okay, this is hard shit. It sucks to look at. And by me doing this, I get to help cultivate and flourish the wisdom along the lineage and pass that down and pull different pieces from my practices and bring that and infuse that into our lineage. And one thing that Andy talks about a lot, which I love this so much, is that because it can get very woo-woo, right? Like, oh, you know, DNA and how is it all like encoded in your DNA and things like that. And then scientifically, when we look at things, for women, our eggs begin developing when we are fetus in our mother. So that means that our child, their cellular DNA is being cultivated in their grandmother.
That's so bananas to me. When I the very first time I heard it, I was like, mind blown. Wait, what?
Right?
I know.
Like, not only is it your like maternal grandmother, but like your DNA was created inside of her womb. Period. Like it, so it is encoded. So whatever your grandmother energetically was going through, mentally, physically, like that becomes part of your makeup. Mm-hmm. And so when it does feel like, you know, things do feel challenging, it may not always be your stuff that's coming up. And I think that's also really important is like, yes, so there's stories and conditions, but like there may be things inside where you're just like, why is this so this way? And it's not even yours. Like you're carrying energetically things, right? And then your grandma was, yeah, grandmother was in her grandmother. So you're carrying this energetic lineage. And so doing this work, and that's why I feel so strongly about lineage work, is because as we're doing this and transmuting the energy and shifting our relationship to it, it is part of the future generations and the collective hopefully becoming more aware of self and moving from this own knowing and this own self trust, as opposed to all the baggage we've been carrying forever. So I think it's part of the healing journey, really. Like however you are looking at your lineage and like wherever you're choosing to begin. And I think just a kind of permission slip of things may feel heavy, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's yours. And if you need to set it down for a little while, like you don't have to do the work. It is a lot. And you're being a cycle breaker. And that's big work in this world. Like that's a lot while you're trying to show up as a human.
Yes.
And so I've just through that work this past year, really specifically, I've had like stuff with our energy and our light bulbs and like saw these like little sprites almost or spirits while I was in Maui that like I actually captured on film. And like, I've loved watching like all the haunted things and like what it like aliens. I'm like, what is this? Like, what is all this stuff? So like to have something on film and I like on my flight back from Maui, like watched it over and over in like slow motion. I'm like, there's something with me, like walking along with me. And so like having these magical pieces and these like behind the veil kind of things or in this unseen world, like supportive of the lineage work that I've been doing. I'm like, oh, like this is real stuff. Like this is so real. So it's just, yeah. And it's a forever journey. Like it's never done, but we get to hopefully pass that torch in a more healthy way to the next generation to work with.
It is no wonder that then before we started our hike on our last day that I had the conversation with you about all my Aquarian placements in my chart. And I'm like, I'm an alien. I'm actually AI. I'm not even real. I'm like AI in real life.
Yes. Like those questions come up all the time. Like, wait, what is this reality?
Like, I was like, is this even real right now? Am I in the matrix? I'm so in the matrix.
Yes. My husband's into this too. And he's just like beta realities and like video game things. I'm like, okay, that I just, this stuff, like who know, like, and who really knows what this reality is right now, but it is a reality that we are in. And so we get to make it what we want to make of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's powerful.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, and I love that you brought up the fact that, like, because I know when I've been looking back at my mother wound and the traumas from my life, but also my mother's traumas and my grandmother's traumas. And I kind of have looked at the lineage of the females in my family. And I will say there is a lot of woundage there, like a lot. There's just so much to the point that it's like my mom doesn't even speak now to the women in her family. And that was a very big narrative growing up to both me and my sister. It was like, we don't even talk to them anymore because women aren't safe. They can't be trusted. And it was almost then, well, not almost, it was verbally said to both me and my sister that we weren't even going to trust each other because sisters don't trust each other. And this is how I grew up in a home where I was cut off from the women in my family lineage, on top of them being told that I'm going to be not have a relationship with my sister because she can't be trusted. And then it was very conflicting to feel like, then how do I connect with my own mother? And there is just so much there. And so when I was getting into mother wound, it felt very daunting and so much. And yet I never really sat there for a second until you said it, that like, did I ever really look at my lineage and look at what maybe were things that came down of a positive nature through the lineage? I don't think I ever really did. Like, honestly, like the minute you said that, I was like, oh my God, how did I never try to even look at any positive? And I recognized, well, it was the narrative I was being fed my whole life. And still, even as in my adult life, right? And it makes sense why, for me, a lot of the biggest abusers in my life have been women. In and around. And so rebuilding trust with other women has been at the core of my healing and at the core of my own. Hi, love bug. He just woke up. Hi, bud.
I'm proud of the growth spurt.
Yeah. Why don't you go lay back down? I'm almost done recording a podcast. Okay, cool. Yes.
And this is
may.
Also why working with women is so amazing, because they just get it. Like, if your kiddo comes in, you're like, yeah, handle it. We're good.
Yeah. I told her before we started recording, I'm all, FYI, my son is homesick. He's still sleeping. It's like almost 11 a.m. you guys. And he went to bed at like 8. I was like, he's probably going to at some point pop up and be like, and he did. He had this the most confused look on his face. He's like, I mean, he was in a portal somewhere and he don't even know where he is right now. Like, Mom.
I need my mother. That's such a prime example, right? Like, yeah. We are the leaders of the family. They're looking to us. Yeah. And like you had, and I think like saying even rebuilding, it's like learning to build. Like, you're just, you're trying to figure it out how to cultivate that trust with other women who are butting up against their own traumas, right? And like you said, that was a huge thing. I didn't even think about the blessings they had brought because I was so caught in the narrative of the trauma and the wounding, because it was so evident. And it sounds like for you too, is like our mothers were so caught in it because they didn't have the spaces to have it reflected to them. Like, this isn't normal. This isn't healthy. This isn't, you know, or here, lay your load down so that you can be seen and heard.
Yeah.
And I think that's the work we get to do, right? Like,
yeah,
we get to start seeing that, and like, I can start pulling myself out slowly from the wounding and the trauma while also seeing and holding that it was there, it is there, you know, and I don't want to live in that anymore. Like, so what does it look like?
Yeah. And that was the blessing I took from it, right? Is that I sat there and I was like, well, I don't want it to be like this anymore. And I recognized for much of my childhood and my adult life, me and my sister definitely had very much a fracture between the two of us, and we didn't trust one another. Now, granted, some of that was to our own doing, right? The foundation was one way, right? So I can look at the foundation of which we were trying to build a relationship on was not a healthy foundation, you know, but then it led into things that I can take ownership of. Like, I didn't show up as my highest self in that moment. I could have treated her better there, vice versa. So I think like during the pandemic, that was a blessing that came through, is that me and my sister actually deeply reconnected during that time. And we were really able to rebond to a point now that we talk almost like every single day. We do so much each other. And I'm like, this this is the work that I'm here to do, is because now me and her, we're like, we're not going to do that to our children. The cousins are going to be able to get together. We're going to get together. You know, we want our children's children to like actually have a family unit. And like, so for me, that's what it's been about, is building that. I, for so long, was trying to reconnect with women outside of my own family unit, and I was struggling, right? Or things were happening. And I realized like I needed to mend with my own sister so that I could actually start moving forward in actual sisterly relationships with other women. Like when I went to San Diego, and I know, I think I even brought that to the circle, is like, I don't trust women. I have a hard time trusting women. Like I want to connect with women. I deeply want to, but then there's this part of me that's like, something's not safe here.
Right. And I think, again, like that's not even that wasn't even yours. And like as children, right, you look at kiddos and they're like, cool people, you're cool, like I'm interacting. And you have these adults who are putting things in our heads, and then that becomes your reality. And so like, of course women aren't safe.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
And that you get to now as an adult, like not feel, I mean, you can feel guilty, you can feel whatever it is, but give yourself grace and like, yeah, this was the way it is. And now here I am, and I get to put myself in these places and like, holy corrective experiences, like amazing.
Yeah.
And I'll go tell everybody about it because it's wonderful.
Yeah. And I love that then you go by Emma Grace, because the minute you said that, I was like, because you give people, it's not even the permission, but you give them the grace that I feel like a lot of people aren't giving themselves. Like you're reminding them of that. And I love it.
I love that. And it's also like the self-reclamation. I was like, you know what? I don't want a man's last name. Like I'm just me.
I love it so much. Okay. So I know what I was going to ask. I was like, what was I going to ask? There was a question there. Oh yeah. So if somebody is listening to this and they're like, okay, I'm recognizing there's work that needs to be done, or I'm in the middle of the work and I'm doing it, and I'm realizing that I'm needing to build community, I'm needing to have more safety. So what do you suggest for people to get into circles? Like, I know you do circles in person and things. So I obviously, you know, if they're local to you, that's definitely an invitation to come into that space, or virtually. But like, what would be some things that you would recommend to somebody who's like, I know I need help. I need more support.
I need more ladies.
I
need something. I think really starting to tune into the outside world, reflecting things to you. And podcasts are amazing, right? There's a plethora of podcasts. Like you can Google search and just be like, okay, what am I feel like? What is the sacred feminine? Start typing it in. Like that's where I really started to get into the cycles of like Kate Northrup and her mother, who was a very famous OBGYN, and like cycling. So like podcasts, books are very helpful. Dr. Joe Dispenza is another one who plays with just like the unseen and the power of our mind and like what we can cultivate and how we can actually heal ourselves. And he has great data, scientific data proving that. Instagram, you know, it can be its space if you're feeling called to certain people, you know, kind of checking them out. And then
check the discernment on that, right?
Discernment. Yeah, check discernment.
Your discernment. Because yes, I will say there are people that they're great marketers.
Yes.
Right? They're not necessarily a great space holder.
Yes.
And facilitator, but they're great at marketing.
Right. And the virtual and the in-person is not cohesive.
Yes.
So yes, starting with people who have like published books where things have been vetted, right? Like, and even podcasts is like, everyone can do podcasts. So like it comes into that discernment again. And like, what is resonating with you, and curiosity, like not taking these things at face value, like really allowing the information to land within. And like, what does it feel like for you versus like, oh, they know the thing because they've been doing it forever. So of course they're an expert, like, but does it resonate for you? And then a lot of people that I'm finding in my community that's just starting to open up. We have like a Facebook page for the Benicia. That's where I'm, Benicia, California, like 45 minutes north of San Francisco. And so I put stuff out there all the time. And like that, like I'll have women like, oh my gosh, you're doing a moon ceremony? Like I've been wanting to do one. So really just kind of like hunting for like your witches, like these little like moon things, like energy, singing bowls, like kind of your cues to start seeing more of that mystic realm would be.
Yeah. And I definitely think it's key what you were saying, like with checking in with your body. And I get it. Like in the beginning, you may not trust the signals your body's giving you. And I'm going to say, for me, because of just the environment that I was raised in, I could not understand my own red flags.
Same.
People would be giving me red flags and I would constantly second guess the red flag that I was getting because I would think it was a me thing.
Right.
So, and I had to, you know, learn how to work with that and understand it. And now I kind of, I'm like trying to see it as like the superpower that I have. That's how I'm trying to reframe it. Be like, no, this is a gift. How can I work with this? Right. But yes, I mean, in the beginning, it is really about listening more to your body. Like if you're getting a clear no on somebody, like that's okay. Just because they have 30,000 followers or like everyone around you is like, this person is the best. Like if you're listening to them and something like it just doesn't settle with you, that's fine. Like there's, and this is where we go back to, there is a lot of people that are out there that are teaching some of the same studies and somebody else just is going to more deeply resonate with you. And that's what you should be following is like, who actually feels good to be holding your energy? Because that is super important when you're going into a healing journey, is sitting with a facilitator who's really going to honor you in the way that you need. Like that's so important and so key.
If anybody ever says that they can like fix you or they've got the answer, like
that's a red flag.
That's a red flag. Like
that is a red flag. I know. My clients, they always joke around because I've done podcasts with some of them and they always come on and they're like, man, even when you want her to give you the answer, like she still won't give you the answer. And it's like, sometimes it annoys you because you're like, no, just tell me what to do. And she's well, I was like that. Cause yeah, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to facilitate space for you to figure out your intuition and what your body is guiding you to do. Like I get to hold space for it. I can be really great at asking questions. And I know as a projector, like I'm here to support energy and help guide the energy, but that by no means mean that I'm the one doing the work. Like you're doing the work.
Exactly. And don't let anybody take, like not letting anybody take that power away from you. Like I gave that power away for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like you're saying, it's that reframe of like, this was a lesson I learned. And now when my body's like, and like, I think that like the no, it's like, it's a constricting, it's a like, something just, something feels off, you know, like you don't even need to be able to put language to it. But if something's just like, like trust that, and you can get curious with it too, right? Like, you know, but yeah, you are the leader of yourself. Don't let anybody else tell you.
And I will say, I think that was a good tip that you gave of kind of like searching out like sound bowls and see what's in your area. When I moved down from, so I was up in Washington State and we moved to Arizona in October. Mm-hmm. I was so surprised what I was finding in Arizona. I thought for sure that Washington would have had more spaces and they just don't. Like I was shocked. There's just like not very much stuff up there or at least I was finding. I don't know, maybe other people are listening to this and they're like, what are you talking about? There's this and this and this. Like I just wasn't finding it. But when I got down to Arizona, that was definitely something that I was really keen on, that I wanted to try to find in-person communities and spaces. And so I just went on to like Eventbrite. Mm-hmm. And I just started searching on Eventbrite. Like it sounds so simple and easy, but it was. And then what's nice is that you go onto those things and then you can actually see like more events similar to this listed at the bottom. And so I just kind of started looking through things and just checking things out and just seeing what sounded cool or interesting. And then I would go onto Instagram and kind of check out the facilitator or the spaces. And that's actually how I stumbled across the space that I teach Soulflow out of, because it was just happened to find it through Eventbrite. So it's like, I'm sure that there's people that are listening to this. They're thinking like, I am literally in like, I don't even know, like some state that's in out in the middle of nowhere. And they're like, there is nothing out here. And there might not be, but you might be able to then, this is where you can connect online virtually into spaces that, or the podcast and things like that. And then I am not opposed to traveling for events and retreats. That's like money well spent. In my opinion.
Money so well spent and like a journey of itself, right? Like to pull yourself away from the house and like all the things. So I completely support that as well. And I think like looking into like yoga shops or crystal shops, like you're saying, where you're finding these like brick and mortar places, because it's like a lighthouse for, you know, the mystics and the people to come to. So those are good. examples of like finding and then just trying it on, right? Like, and not everything's going to resonate. And I think that's okay as well, that permission. Like, you may not like sound healing. That may not be your jam. You may really enjoy this particular yoga. Like, so really trying it on for yourself and seeing what does land and what doesn't, and then keeping the things that do, and then moving from there.
I love it. Well, we are getting to the end of the show. So, Emma, why don't you tell everybody how they can connect with you and what you have going on right now? Because I'm sure everybody's going to listen to this and be like, I want to go hang out in Emma Land.
I would love for you to come hang out in Emma Land. I am actually pivoting right now. A floral design shop is pivoting into the Sanctuary of Self locally. So again, I'm in Benicia, California. So we're about 45 minutes north of San Francisco. So any Bay Area folks or people who want to come to the Bay Area, please look me up on Instagram at love.emmagrace. I also have a website that I'm refining as lalunachild.com. And I do virtual and also in-person experiences, one-on-one group ceremony, curated privately for like what my favorite jam is like girlfriends who want to have a ceremony for themselves. And I get to come in and make it this like really awesome, beautiful, vibey experience for them all and lead them through a beautiful night of ceremony. So,
oh my gosh, that it makes me feel like the girls that want to get together for like sipping paints.
Yep.
But instead of sipping and painting, they want you to come in and host like a ceremony for them.
That's we get like the charcuterie board. We get our whole circle. I've got the vibe, the sheepies, like all the things. My sheepies.
Oh my God. I love this so much. I've been saying for so long, I was like, what feels fun for me is for people to invite me into their spaces. Like they want me to come to like a retreat or their circle or whatever. And I just show up and I just get to do my like, la la, like here I am. And then like, so that's kind of what that sounds like. I love that so much. So yeah, you guys, I'm going to put all of Emma's contact information in the show notes below. So you can just go down there and click on her stuff. Highly recommend you follow her and get connected into Emma's world, because like you see, she's just amazing.
Thank you, Blair. See, and these are the conversations that just light me up. So if you want to be in this energy, like, yes, please. And we're changing the world together. And I'm just so thankful for this opportunity, Blair, and deepening with you and just the magic you're bringing into this world. I mean, the power of vulnerability it's big. And so I thank you for showing up through it all, because I know that it's been a journey. And I'm so thankful you are standing here and sharing your gifting.
Thank you. You're so sweet. Yeah. I love you so much. Thank you so much. Oh, yes. It was so much fun having you on the show. And yes, these conversations totally light me up and I just love them. And I feel like I see a future episode with Emma coming back. Yes. There's so many more things we can talk about. Oh my God, I love it. So you guys, yes. If you guys loved this episode, which I know you did because it was really good, you are going to want to share it on your Insta stories and tag me and Emma in them and share maybe your takeaways, how amazing it was. Make sure you're sharing it with your soul sisters and getting them connected into this beautiful energy. And then I forgot to ask Emma, I'm sure if people have questions or anything from this conversation, they can just DM you is great.
That's perfect. Yeah. Through Instagram, I'm active in there. So yes, come say hi, let me know where you found me, especially if it's coming through this. Yes, please let me know. And we will chat with whatever your takeaways are or questions. I'm open for that.
Yes. You guys can talk about all the things. You guys know my DMs are always open for you guys to come in and chat with me if this episode resonated with you. So yeah, thank you again, Emma, for coming on the show. And thank you guys for listening. I always am so glad to have you guys here listening in as we have these beautiful, expansive conversations. And I look forward to having you guys on the next episode.